Hello, welcome to Microsoft Community Insight Podcast, where we share insights and stories from community experts to stay up to date with Azure. My name is Nicholas, and I'll be your host today. In this podcast, we will dive into cloud journey. But before we get started, I remind you to subscribe to our podcast on social media so you never miss an episode. So it really helps us to reach more amazing people like yourself. So in this podcast, I have a special guest called Martin O'Neill from Canis. So would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hi, Nick. Thanks very much for having me today. I'm Marty O'Neill. I'm a principal architect and also the Microsoft Tech Lead here in Canis.
That's brilliant. Could you please share your journey into tech industry and how you become where you are at Canis?
Sure. So I wasn't sure how far back you wanted to go, but I'll go right back to uni. So back in 1998, I started a degree in De Montfort. My degree was actually in media technology. Whenever I finished my degree, a lot of my friends were still on placement. They'd done a placement year, so they were coming back for another year. So I stayed on at university and did a master's in IT. After I finished university, I came back to Northern Ireland. It's safe to say that Northern Ireland at the time, there wasn't a lot of jobs in the IT industry. So I started my own company. It's safe to say I was not a businessman, but it was probably the most fun 18 months. Whenever you work for yourself, and I guess when you're so young as I was, I just took it as an opportunity to do everything I could and learn as much as I could. So one minute I was making websites for people, next minute I was fitting CD rewriters or building computers. And I just used it as a great way to get loads of experience in loads of different areas. What that helped with then is whenever I started interviewing for roles. So I wasn't a successful businessman. But I got a load of experience that I wouldn't have had. So after that, I joined the local college in Belfast as the assistant web development officer. Would make websites. It was mainly a classic ASP, SQL Server, and then looking after our virtual learning environment. Post that, I became our software development officer. And I guess back in 2006, this could be seen as an early DevOps role, I guess. I was doing a lot of batch scripting. The main role, I guess, I had at the start there was if you think a college, we'd like 50,000 students enrolling. And I created the system to automate the creation of their IT accounts to let them put in their own password and register and that. After that, in the college, I moved to be the web development officer. And it was the first time, I guess, I started leading a team. We had a team of four people. And I was responsible for the website. I was also responsible for the VLE environment and all the sort of good fun things that came along with that. Around that time, SharePoint started becoming quite a key technology.
Oh yeah,
and
I guess you started where there were floppy disks and Windows XP.
There was definitely floppy disks and Windows XP. When I was at uni, we used to have to burn CDs, and it was like one speed, and if you touched the computer or a keyboard at all, it corrupted the disk. it's been a hell of a lot of changes since I started out. I was doing a lot of SharePoint at the time, and I had this idea that I would go back out on my own. I would become a SharePoint consultant. And I Googled SharePoint Consultancy Belfast, and a role at Canos came up. And as soon as I seen it, it was like, yeah, maybe give this a go. So 2009, I joined Canos as a SharePoint consultant. I think I did SharePoint for maybe a year. Then I moved into our internal systems team. I've always done a lot of, I guess, SQL Server and IIS and .NET. Yeah. majority of time, I guess, back then, as DevOps was coming into being a thing, it was more open source. So it was our Linux and Puppet. I, unfortunately, was one of the poor people trying to do WinOps, as we called it. So it was operations for Windows. So it was a lot of PowerShell desired state. So the likes of Jeffrey Snover would be a hero of mine, you know, with the PowerShell business. And, you know, early days, Team City. Around about 2014, I found myself at a wee bit of a lull in terms of work, and I emailed my boss and said, what do you think you should be doing? And he said, well, there's either a policy document to write or you can look at Azure. This kind of Azure had been talked about. You know, some people had Visual Studio accounts, but we never seriously looked at it. So 2014, I started my Azure journey. And I guess from there, I became a technical architect, solution architect, then principal architect. And I've watched our Azure community in Kinos go from myself and like one or two others to there's now like 400 or 500 people working on Azure, working on Microsoft Power Platform. And yeah, so it's been, I guess, quite the journey.
Okay, so speeding up to the current phrase, what specific technology or platform do you specify? Is it just Microsoft and Azure or Microsoft technology overall in your role?
Yeah, so say early days, I guess I've always had this anchor in like SQL Server. It was SQL 2000 MCP, so anyone who's been around long enough will know that that's quite old now. I wouldn't say I'm a specialist in anything anymore. So yeah. I now lead our Microsoft community in Kinos. So I would say I'm more of a generalist. In my career in Kinos, I've been very lucky in that, you know, I've architected data platforms, I've architected IoT platforms, was here for early days of PaaS and, you know, moving away from IIS servers to Azure Web Apps. And then recently in the last year, getting involved with a lot of the open AI and a lot of the AI solutions. So I'm definitely a Microsoft person. I wouldn't say I specialize anymore. I had them, I guess this is one of the fun things as you move up in your career is moving away from being a specialist in anything. I'm now lucky that the likes of yourself, Nick, are one of the specialists in Kinos. You know, Kinos is quite a privileged position to have a load of specialists who work with me and that I can guide and tap into knowledge of. So it's all good fun.
Okay, brilliant. So given the fast movement of cloud, where the fast pace of cloud industry, what trend do you see that shape the platform engineer like ourselves?
Cool. So I guess about 7 or 8 years ago, as a senior group of platform people in Kinos, cloud was just starting to emerge, right? And we had this conversation around, oh, do we need to reskill people? Because cloud's going to replace everything. We're not going to need you're not going to need platform people anymore. And as I say, we've went from 20 to 30 people to like 200 people doing platform engineering in cloud. And I see that, I think we're still going in that trajectory. I think platform engineering will still be very important for the next 5 to 10 years. There's the likes of Devin and a lot of the automated and AI tools are getting a lot of, they're going to replace everybody. But I guess tools like that have been around for a long time. You know, if I wanted to create a website template, I could have done that 10, 15, 20 years ago. Where platform engineering and the roles we do really come into place is once it starts getting complex and you start bringing loads of different systems together, which we do, that's where you still need platform engineers. And I think, if anything, it's probably a growing space. Even, you know, we see a lot in our data and AI work and even our power platform work. A lot of people still need those platform skills. They still need to understand how you do Entra, how you do permissions, how you do networking, how you do security.
Yeah.
And I guess as cloud has made things easier, it almost hasn't, because we're 20 years ago, people like myself had a choice between you can either use SQL or Oracle. Now you have a choice between Cosmos, SQL, Postgres. Do you use Aurora? You know, there's so much choice. And platform engineering, I think, will move, I guess, more from spending all day doing Terraform or PowerShell. I think we're approaching the stage where that part of platform engineering will be accelerated with AI, with like GitHub Copilot in it, but it will certainly not be replaced. And if I was going into platform engineering now, I would learn my core skills. I would learn as many things as possible. You know, look in the data ops space, look in machine learning, look at AI, and I'd also build some soft consultancy type skills, because the core platform skills, I think, are still going to be core for a long time yet.
Okay, brilliant. Speaking of your current role at Kainos, can you tell us more about the amazing project that you worked on during your time at Kainos?
So
one or two. So it could be like any fun one.
Yeah, I guess to put it in context, I've probably been on about 100 delivery projects and maybe 200 to 300 pre-sales projects since I've been in Kainos. The work Kainos does, we're largely known for UK public sector, and that can be government services or health services in the UK. Some of the big projects, I guess, we've done are NHS App, a lot of the Brexit programs for DEFRA. I'm lucky, I guess, to have been on, as I say, IoT projects and cloud migrations. And I've never done any of the big headline projects that Kainos are maybe famous for. But I would have done a lot of the, I guess, early days Azure, you know, building initial platforms, a lot of the cloud migrations, stuff like Welsh Revenue Authority. Whenever they came into existence, they said, we don't want any on-premise infrastructure at all. So it's been, a lot of good projects knocking around. Nowadays, I guess my role, I oversee projects. So there's maybe four or five projects at the minute that I would dip into and help rather than be full-time delivery on.
Okay, that makes sense. So has where you're high in your position at Kainos, in your opinion, how does the company itself adapt to the evolving technology and stay up to date with the cutting-edge technology in the cloud?
Sure. It's a real interesting one, this. So I guess what we do in the Microsoft space is that we have what's called tech exploration. And it's a bit of a process of working out the services that we provide at the minute, working out the services that we could provide, and feeding in then the new areas that Microsoft release all the time. And one of the, I guess, key things is around keeping fresh with fresh skills. So in the last year, we've seen a lot of open AI training. So we've done hackathons, we've done internal presentations, and we've, I guess, put a lot of people through training and certification. It's a funny one, the exploration space, because you often have to hedge your bets on what we look at compared to what the market's buying or what helps deliver customer outcomes. In Kainos, we ground everything in customer outcomes and what's the best way to get there. So there's often quite a lot of debates about, do we use web apps or do we use AKS? And I guess a lot of the exploration is around, you know, which area do we focus on? And once we've decided on areas to focus on, it's then giving people the space to develop their skills and their support and the framework. Whilst then people like me come up with offerings and try to help our sales people, you know, bring it to customers. Because if you're looking at the problem is if you're looking at technology just to look at technology without thinking about the customer in the end, you just have a whole load of technology, and that's not good for the people that have looked at the technology or for the company.
Yeah, that's true. And plus, that's one of the way you can encourage continuous learning and development within the whole your team or your colleagues as well.
Yeah, well, the big thing about cloud, whether it's Azure or Microsoft, or whether it's Azure, AWS, GCP, it never stops. You know, there's never a we're done. You know, the idea of, and I think this is one of the most interesting things about platforms. I've been on like a continuous journey of learning for the last 24 years. And I think that's platforms have a big responsibility to make sure that they are keeping up the skills. So the idea of I have a certain skill set, this is what I know, though it's very hard for someone, I guess, I would think, in their career to take that mindset. You have to be continuously growing, have to be continuously challenging yourself, and trying new things. Yeah, it's vitally important.
To stay as continuous learning, what resources would you recommend for beginners to stay ahead in the field? So this could be anything like doing starting with apprentice. It could be like Microsoft Learn.
Yeah, so I guess it's safe to say it's a long time since I've been an apprentice. But it's funny. I actually have been on a project recently in the last 6 to 12 months where I had to learn about a GCP. The challenge now is there's so much learning available. Whenever I was starting with Azure, it was all pretty much experimentation. You might have got a book released, but there wasn't Microsoft Learn. There wasn't the wealth of blogs. I think the starting now, you know, John Saville is probably who I point most people to whenever they're asking about fundamentals. But I'm probably not the right person to ask, Nick, about how to start cloud journey. Maybe if it was a medium, the longer level. There's a lot of, you know, I guess developing your career. There's a lot of stuff like Armchair Architects, a lot of great YouTube channels that I would very, very highly recommend.
Yeah, that's great. Plus, I wanted to point out that we do offer at Canos, we do offer like license for EcoGuru if you want to stay up to date with some like some videos as well. So just want to point that out. So how do you
the best way to get up to speed with anything is to get an Azure account, or a GCP account, or an AWS account, and have a play. The big thing is if you get your own account, you can't break anything. Barrier to, I always say this, the barrier to entry is so low now. Whenever I started in IT, if you wanted to be an Oracle specialist, you had to have somebody buy a big Oracle rack, and you had to be lucky enough to get on a project. Literally now anyone can pick up an Azure account and learn anything.
Yeah.
Because it's
there's people that doing personal project and then get a job like moving
from the system. Yeah, very much so. It's probably one of the best times for being able to just self learn and grow a career. But certainly whenever I started out, it really wasn't the case. You know, you had laptops. Well, I didn't even have a laptop. You had a PC that you couldn't run VMs on. There wasn't even VMs, you know. So you had to have dedicated resources. Yeah. Whereas now, you know, it's all pay as you go. It's all at your fingertips. You know, the opportunities are endless. The challenge, I think, now is picking what to start with or what to specialize in. Because there is such a wide choice.
Yeah. So in So in your experience, how do you stay up to date with these changes, evolving changes?
Sure. So I still fire up Azure and deploy resources. For me, that's the best way for me to learn. Microsoft Learn is great, but I'm not one. I can't read a lot. If I read a lot, I lose interest, or my mind gets distracted, or I just open another browser and start playing with the actual thing on Azure. Staying curious and having to play with stuff is probably the most important thing, I would say. If you have loads of paper knowledge, it's great. It'll get you exams and that. But building stuff, seeing it break and seeing real problems, for me, trumps everything. That's, I guess, how I would recommend staying up to date with things.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, so it's like practice, keep practicing until you get perfect and stuff.
If you don't have the skills and experience, you get yourself in, you know, interesting areas fairly quickly.
That's great. Yeah, no. So we're wrapping up this episode, so we just want to know, we're always interested to know the guests itself. So are you looking forward to any Microsoft events in the cloud? Whether we're just partners or Ignite.
Yeah, I like watching your adventures, Nick, I have to say.
thank you.
I can't travel around as much through family commitments. Watching you at the MVP Summit, I was very, very envious of. I like the big events. I like Build. I like Ignite. As I say, for me, there's so much now on YouTube as well, the Microsoft channels, John Saville, and that there's so much great stuff out there. There's another great, podcast for people in the IT industry run by Ben Pierce, Tech World Human Skills. I highly recommend that as well. He had Scott Hanselman on a couple of weeks ago, and he always has, industry experts on, and they're really good podcasts to help you think about different areas of career and as you're working.
That's brilliant. So just one last thing before we wrap up. So how can people get in touch with yourself if you want any quick questions?
Sure. Email is probably the easiest. Martino@kanos.com. I would say you can find me on Twitter at Marty080, and I'm on LinkedIn as well. I've never consistently blogged or been in the socials, so a lot of it is just pictures of me playing with the kids or growing peas. If people want to reach out, I'm sure you can point them in my direction as well, Nick.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks for joining me.